Good morning. Well, Caris has already talked about some of the ways we might want to get the message of Jesus out in the world, out where we live and where we work and in our local communities, whether it's through X Factor, whether it's through schools work with Southampton City Mission. Paul has talked about those invitational cards. And this morning, I want to talk about action, doing good works. And how to get the message out there is a question that a church in the States were asking, a town in Virginia called Williamsburg asked a really brave question as they wondered about the impact they were making on their local community. They said, if the church were to shut its doors, would the community notice? If the church were to shut its doors, would the community notice? And they started to get to know people in their local community. And as they did this, they not only noticed what the spiritual needs were in Williamsburg, but they noticed what some of the practical needs were as well. And as part of them being out in the community, they met a chap called Frank. And we're going to watch a video that tells us something of Frank's story.
Williamsburg is a hotbed of tourism. It's a city with a rich history, the birthplace of our nation. But buried beneath all of that is the soul of the city, the people who make the city happen. People like Frank.
You could probably call it bad luck. I ended up having to quit work in order to be a live-in care provider. I was in the wrong place at the right time, and just things escalated and avalanched.
The resources to help move someone out of homelessness or to alleviate deep poverty are very, very minimal here in Williamsburg.
I didn't have a very good view of the church. And after meeting Fred, he woke me back up to the kingdom of heaven.
When I first came here as minister of this church, it had a heart to do something more but didn't really know what to do. We want to make sure that we are a people who understand what it means to be for the last, for the least, for the lost.
You could tell that it was honest. It wasn't them trying to put on a show. It was just them being them.
Our 3E restoration process is a highly relational way that we as an entire church body walk with people from homelessness to self-sufficiency. We want to encourage, empower, and equip those who are homeless.
What I'm going through now with Williamsburg Christian Church, it's a 180 from being homeless. There's a fellowship of community here.
Frank is given now a network of relationships who are all in with him.
I was able to find a job through the church. They sent me and my friend Doug up with a house.
No one deserves to be abandoned, even if it's of their own making. Because when we deserved to be abandoned, God came to us and put skin on and walked with us. And then I think he asked our church to do the same.
If it wasn't for God, I would not have anything I have right now. I'd still be on the street.
When Frank made a decision to be baptized, it happened around Easter. To be a part of that journey with him and to see him come out of the waters and to see the look in his eyes and to see him hug me, I remember his face as though it was yesterday.
It felt different when I came out of the water. It just, something changed.
Frank is a picture of the gospel. Frank really is the gospel with skin on it.
Now, since I have basically rediscovered God and I have a better understanding of what it means to be a Christian, it affects pretty much everything. It makes you have a whole new outlook. Actually, I'm kind of wondering how I've survived this far without it.
I think if you were to ask me what my greatest dream for Frank would be, is that he just simply become a disciple that makes disciples. At Williamsburg Christian Church, we have to continue to learn what it means to be joined in God's pursuit of restoring lives as everyday people living in our everyday places in everyday ways through tangible acts of compassion and love. And then when the time is right, with our lips simply pointing to the reason we're doing all of this, King Jesus.
So I contacted Fred, the pastor, to ask permission to use that video. And he sends his blessings to us this morning as we have watched that. This DVD tells the story of a changed life because somebody got involved with a homeless man. As Frank discovered a community that were interested in him, and then he discovered a way in which he could get involved and join in with that community, his life became transformed. It became turned around. And not only is that our vision here at TBC, it's a principle that we find in the Bible. So this morning, as we look at action as part of our Blueprint teaching series, we're going to start with just a couple of bits in the Old Testament. King David in the Psalms writes, "One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works." And so in the Old Testament, we see a tradition of stories about the goodness of God being passed on from one generation to another. But mission in the Old Testament wasn't something to be kept within the family context. There's an outward focus too. And in Genesis, God says to Abraham, "Leave your country, leave your family and your relatives and go. Go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. You will become famous and be a blessing to others." And in the story of Abraham, God tells Abraham three times to be light to the world. And God gives Abraham the reason for doing this. He says, "I have blessed you. Now you go and bless others." Because Abraham was blessed, he was commanded to be a blessing to other people. Right here, at the beginning of the Bible, we discover that we mustn't be selfish about the way God has blessed us. And if we move into the New Testament and we look at what James has got to say, he links the importance of practical action with our faith and being a blessing to others. He writes, "What is it? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not a..." What good is it? "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by action, is dead." And so James is reminding us that if we just talk, our words will not have as much impact as if our words are accompanied by some form of good deeds and actions. And one of the key opportunities we have here at TBC for putting our faith into action has been our Practical Helps Weekend, which we've called Love Harefield. And at that weekend, a few of us have got involved in gardening, and a few of us have got involved in kitchen cleaning and DIY around the house. Our teenagers have washed cars, and some of us have gone out litter picking. and those of us that haven't been able to do any of those things have gathered here to pray. And when we started this 3 years ago, I anticipated that it would be something that would be quite small. And then after we'd done this for 1 year, it would get a bit bigger. And then after we'd done it for 2 years, it would be a bit bigger. And after 3 years, it would get even bigger. And so maybe you can understand my disappointment when this year we had the fewest number of people out doing practical things. And we had the fewest number of people ever out litter picking. And even here on the Sunday morning, when those who couldn't be out litter picking could have gathered to pray, there were so few here. And to me, it seemed as though we decided it was an excuse to worship somewhere else or have a Sunday off. This is what Peterson says in the Message on this same verse, or these same verses in James. He says, "Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?" And then he goes on to say, I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, "Sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department." And I wonder whether some of us have got into that way of thinking. I'll do the faith and you do the works. And Peterson continues. He says, "Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works." Faith and works. Works and faith fit together, hand in glove. And so I was disappointed that as a church, when we had this practical helps weekend, we who claim to have faith didn't take this opportunity to put our faith into action. Because as far as I can see it, there's no get out clause. Not on the basis of our age or our physical well-being or our personality type. And if we can't be out in our community, then we should be in here praying for those who are out there on the front line. If God has blessed us, how can we not fulfill our responsibility to Him by being a blessing to others? Because I was disappointed, I took it to the leadership team, because that's what we have a leadership team for, to take our joys and our sorrows to them and to talk about it. And I asked them, "Do you think we should continue with Love Harefield?" And I'm going to invite Matt to come up and join me and just to share as best as he can remember what he said at that leadership meeting and the difference it made.
Yeah, basically, I said, absolutely, we should be doing continuing Love Harefield. I see it as a really important, and I've been involved in the various ones over the last few years. And I would say, whilst I'm a very busy person, I run a business, I have a family, I do the treasury, a whole load of stuff, and Saturday is a day that I really want to be relaxing and doing my gardening or whatever, but it's an opportunity for us to get involved with the community and for the community to see us actually going out to them and caring for them, showing that we're interested in them. And it's actually been a real eye-opener for me in terms of meeting different people that I just wouldn't normally meet through my work life, through my friends, family. Those people are the same types of people, if you want to put it that way. So it's actually also been a real blessing to me to actually understand different people's predicaments. It's not for us to judge them. They can be quite different to us, but it's for us to show love to them. So I think it's a really important part of what we should be doing as a church.
Thanks, Matt. That was really, really helpful. Because you see, we as Christians don't have the monopoly on being kind or being generous or get involved in community activities. Plenty of people who live in our local communities are kind and generous and serve the community tirelessly. And I see this attitude in our well-being cafe on a Monday morning. You know, at the end of cafe, when there's a mad panic to clear up and get the room shipshape, ready for our cleaners to come in, I have been so blessed to see that it's often our customers that are the ones that are helping put the room back to the way it should be. Those that we're running the cafe for are finding a way of joining in and being a part of what it is that we're doing. We can only understand our local community here in Thornhill and Harefield if we are getting involved with people who live around here. How can we know the wealth and the treasure in our community if we don't mix? As we engage with those that live around this church, our message will take on a depth of sincerity and will have a credibility which matches what it is we say with our words. And when the Apostle Peter wrote to the church in his day, he recognized that the Christian message wasn't always understood. In fact, it was often treated with a huge amount of suspicion because Christians weren't fitting in with the world around them. Because of their newfound faith, Christians weren't joining in with everything that the people in Peter's local community were doing. And because they didn't join in, and because they were misunderstood, they were called evil doers. And so Peter wrote this: people who don't believe are living all around you, and they may say that you're doing wrong. So live such good lives that they may see the good you do, and they will give glory to God on the day he comes. So not only do doing good works and practical things to bless others reinforce our message, when Christians are noticed for their good actions, God is praised. And I love hearing people that have no faith talking about the good things that Christians are doing, because without them realizing it, they are bringing glory to God. And I had the privilege of hearing God be praised at my Thornhill Community Library annual review. Now, the process of this meeting is that I get invited in to give account of what we have done with the library in the previous year and what we're going to do with the library in the year to come. And there's a small group of Southampton City Council employees that kind of carry out this appraisal. And they were talking about the library and what we had done and what we were trying to do. And one of the staff said, "I saw the most amazing thing going on in the library the other day." And I didn't know this. She said, "A lady came in and she needed to use the computers and she didn't really know how to get onto the computers. So one of our volunteers got her onto the computer because she wanted to check her universal credit to see whether she was going to get paid and when she was going to receive her money. So she was got onto the computer, and then she discovered that she wasn't going to get any money for a while. Now, there just so happened to be somebody else in the library from a different community agency, and they organised for this lady to have a Basics Bank voucher. But this Basics Bank voucher was useless because the only centre that was open was over in Lord's Hill. And this lady lived in Thornhill, and she had no means of getting there. And so you know where this story is going. Debbie Lohman, who was in the library, said to the lady, "If you can just wait until the end of my shift, I think I can probably do something about this predicament." And at the end of Debbie's library shift, she took this lady to Lord's Hill, they used the voucher, they picked up the food, and then she brought her home again. Debbie would never have told me that story. But somebody from Southampton City Council did. And as she told that story, God was glorified. And how can we be part of this process of hearing God glorified out of the mouths of those who don't yet have faith if we're not involved in some form of community space? And whether that community space is in Harefield, or whether that community space is in Thornhill, or whether it is using the opportunity for the time when we have communities in this building, we cannot be glorifying God through our faith and our works if we're not in community space. There are about 26,000 people who live in Harefield and in Thornhill. And how are we as a church, and how are we going to, as individuals, ensure that if this church shut its doors or it moved to Hedge End or wherever else, our community would notice us leaving? So, action starts with a decision. And there's no better time for a decision than in the present day. So today you can commit to take a pile of those cards and you can invite people to be part of this church. But actually, they may not come if they don't know who you are and if you don't know who they are. So, you could get to know people from within our local community by committing to be here, either part of a group that meets in the building, or perhaps being part of our locking and our unlocking team, where you would get to meet and greet and get to know people who come in and use our building. Today, you could commit to one of the activities that goes on outside of this place. You could become part of a chaplaincy team in our local surgeries. You could become part of the library team. Today, you could commit to being part of Love Harefield next year. Some of us can't be out in community spaces. Some of us can't be able, or some of us can't be even at some of the groups that happen here midweek. But all of us can commit to support actively those who are on the front line. How about having a chat with Debbie and find out what goes on in the library and commit to pray for the volunteers? How How about chatting with Charis to find out when schools have these assemblies and commit to be praying there? If you can't come to the cafe, commit to pray for a while on a Monday morning. We can be active prayer warriors behind the teams that are involved in our community spaces. There is no get-out clause if we've been blessed. We are called to be blessings to others, and that means that we get involved. Of course, we're called to put our action into practice 24/7, and that means that it's not all about things that we do here at TBC, where we live and where we work. We are called to be salt and light, but we're also called to be salt and light where we worship too. We are such a blessed church here on the borders of Thornhill and Harefield. And so surely we're called to be a blessing to those that live in this community around our church. So we can spend a few moments just in quiet as you chat to God about how he might be calling you to get involved. It's key that as we are blessed, we are a blessing to others, because faith without works can be seen as being dead. So let's pray together.